Welcome back. There is a new leadership on duty at the Quincy chapter of the Salvation Army on Baxter Street, and we're happy to welcome one of them. Captain Amanda Boynton is here to tell us a little bit about her story and about the needs and the programs provided at the Quincy Salvation Army. Nice to meet you, Captain.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming over.
No problem.
We had a great relationship with your predecessors, Colin and Amber Maynor, and we wish them well, certainly, in their new endeavor. How long now have you and your husband been here in Quincy?
Just a couple months. We got here at the beginning of July, end of June.
Okay.
So, yep.
So tell me the Amanda Boynton, Adam Boynton story, if you could.
So we met when we were... just at exiting high school.
Okay. So just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, just a few years ago. When we were in the Salvation Army programs. The Salvation Army has a large music program in a lot of places. And where we grew up in upstate New York, there was like a statewide program. And that's kind of how we met. We went to the same college, just a year apart. It was Houghton College. It's out in, it's like 45 minutes south of Buffalo, New York. So if you're not really familiar with upstate New York, you might not really know. But middle of nowhere kind of city. There wasn't even really a gas station in town. Very similar to your own ENC that's in Quincy, but kind of out in the burbs.
Okay. And you were both in the music program?
No, he was in the music program. I studied teaching for a few years, and then I switched over to humanities after that.
Okay. But that's where you met?
That's where we met.
Married soon after?
We married in college.
Really?
Yeah, in between our senior year semesters. I graduated about a year early from there. So we are both of our senior year, even though he went in a year earlier than I was. It was the same time. And then we spent a semester there married and then moved on to the Salvation Army's training school, which is kind of like our seminary school.
Okay, where's that?
It's in Nyack for this part of the territory.
Okay.
Nyack, New York, near the city, about an hour outside of the city.
Okay, and how long is that program?
It's 2 years.
Oh, it is, okay.
Mm-hmm. So we did 2 years there, and then from there we went to New Jersey.
Okay.
For our first Salvation Army appointment.
First appointments, yeah. And so how long were you there?
We were there 6 years.
6 years?
Yes.
That's
a good stay.
Good stay.
Yeah, it was.
Because has the whole kind of model changed with the Salvation Army in terms of leadership?
No, not
no?
really.
Okay.
They still move us, and the average stay is usually 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
They have been pushing more for like a little bit of a longer stay than traditionally had been, so it's more leaning more towards like the 4 to 5 years on average.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that there aren't people that stay for a long time. Like my husband's parents actually stayed 13 years in one appointment out in New York. So it just kind of depends on the situation, what's going on at the Corps. A lot of moves are sparked by other people having to move too. So it's kind of a domino effect sometimes. So yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, here in Quincy, there was the same leadership for many, many, many years before there have been, you know, quite a number of turnovers since then. So here you are.
So hopefully we'll stay for a while.
Hopefully we'll stay for a little while. Yeah, exactly. Yes. How does this current assignment here in Quincy compare to your previous assignment in New Jersey?
Oh, they're all so different.
Yeah.
You know, our appointment in New Jersey was lovely. It was a very small town.
Okay.
So I think as rural as New Jersey gets, that's why I say, because I've lived in real rural, when I call it real rural.
Well, upstate New York. More cows than people,
like I said,
right?
There wasn't even a gas station in town,
right.
Kind of rural.
Yeah.
That wasn't this wasn't that.
More suburban.
It was more of like what I would call suburban, but in New Jersey it was considered rural.
Okay. All right,
so,
yeah.
You know.
It's not Perth Amboy, but
no,
it's...
No, no.
Okay.
It's not the city, but it's not quite rural.
Gotcha.
But they did have farms and things like that.
Yeah.
A very small little town. Salvation Army, where for a while the staff was just my husband and I. Mm. We did just a smaller operation.
Sure.
Than Quincy. So Quincy's got a lot going on. And it has a lot of support. It has a lot of a few staff members, so that we're able to do a little bit more.
Yeah.
And with a city in this size, it's needed, you know what I mean? More so than...
Yeah, tell me a little bit about kind of your impression of Quincy since you've been... I mean,
it's
short,
lovely.
Just a short time.
It's just a short time, but it's lovely. We love it here.
Are you living in the city?
No, we live just outside in Braintree.
Oh, okay. That's funny. The Maynors lived in Braintree also.
We live in the same house.
The same housing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's kind of the Salvation Army owns the house and
gotcha.
Move you around that way.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's been nice. It's been lovely.
Yeah.
Our first experience with New England, my husband's father was actually grew up in Lynn.
Okay.
But again, they hadn't really been, Adams never lived here because his parents are also Salvation Army officers. So they kind of moved around when he was a kid.
Okay.
And so it's been interesting.
Yeah. Now, would you say that the demographics here are different than where you were previously?
Yeah, where we were, we had a high Spanish-speaking population that we worked with, and here we've noticed more of an Asian population that we're dealing with. So definitely different. It's just a different language.
Yep.
But I got to say, I don't think I'm going to be able to learn Mandarin. I don't think that's one that I've got in me. I did learn a little bit of Spanish, but the Mandarin's a little bit tough.
Yeah, do you have maybe staff that could help you with that or help with translations? Do you need, you know?
Anybody that does know Mandarin, you want to come and help out, that'd be great.
Sure.
Right now, I know our staff uses a lot of Google like text-to-speak kind of thing. But that only goes so far. It's not, you know, the best. And we do translate a lot of like papers and stuff like that into Mandarin and things like that. So
in your short time that you've been here, Amanda, what kind of needs have you identified in the community that the Salvation Army could assist with?
I know like some of our biggest needs just post-pandemic has been, you know, we've got utility assistance, rental assistance, and still the food pantry is huge. That's been going on. So I know for us, pre-pandemic, they did have a good amount of volunteers that were coming to help. And with the pandemic and, you know, there was a lot of loss and we had to close to volunteers for a time.
That's tough.
Yeah. And so I know the Mainers and our social worker were the only three staff there working through the pandemic.
Wow.
And it was a lot.
Yeah.
And they did the best they could through that time. But now that we've been able to open up a little bit, we've had a few of our volunteers come back, but they definitely need help. So we could use all the help we can get to help better serve our community.
Okay. What jobs will they be doing if they did volunteer?
So a lot of pantry stuff,
stocking
shelves, helping clients get their food bags, going through the refrigerators, making sure that the food's still good. Because, you know, in a pantry, you get things shortly before it's going to be too rough to
expired,
eat. And we do try to give as many healthy options, so it's not just canned goods and cereals and things like that, but it's a lot more of like the fresh vegetables and fruit, which we're blessed to be able to give through donors in the community, but they do go bad quick. So we have to be able to have people that are able to turn that over to make sure we're not giving out anything rotten to our clients.
Of course,
And stuff like that. So,
okay. Yeah. Who can be a volunteer? How does that happen?
Anyone can volunteer.
Okay.
If you're going to bring a kid, they do have to come with an adult, though.
Of course.
You know, that's just typical. But yeah, we do have a standard background check form that we do for all of our clients because we do often work with vulnerable populations.
Yes.
And we just want to make sure everyone's protected. So you would have to do that. And you would just contact the office, which I think the main number you said is on the screen.
Yeah, we'll put that up on the screen. Sure.
So you just call us and we give you the paperwork to fill out.
Okay. Is there a training involved for volunteers?
Yeah, they would be like on the job. Our social worker would help you through what she needs done and stuff like that.
So. Okay. And is there a minimum commitment that someone would have to make?
Nope.
Okay, whatever time they
have. She has option. There's other options where if you're willing to drive, they have. We do have some shut-in clients that aren't able to leave their houses, so we do bring some of our pantry items to their doors, so we need help with that.
Okay.
Stuff like all kinds of things.
Okay. What are the current COVID protocols at the Salvation Army?
If you're unvaccinated, you need to wear a mask.
Okay.
Most of our staff does wear a mask anyway, vaccinated or not.
Sure.
Just because for the safety of interacting with clients and things like that. So,
okay.
You'll find it's mask friendly.
Okay.
You can wear a mask there to keep everyone safe.
Sure. Yeah. What so the food pantry, what other types of services do you offer or do you need help with?
Yeah, we do have some kids programs starting up again for our youth. They are just short a couple days a week in the afternoons. Again, we have music programs at the Salvation Army for youth.
Does your husband play during that?
He does. He does. He's one of those, he kind of jack of all trades. He can kind of play a little bit of everything.
Fun. Okay.
Yeah. good. But we do have a lot of other, through the church, the Salvation Army is a church, and they have, through our church, there's quite a few musicians that help out with the programs to be able to foster more learning for
Salvation
the kids.
Salvation Army is known for the brass band, right?
Yes,
That's what they're known for, yeah.
It is big. And we do teach brass and I think guitar and some like dance classes, you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
So if anybody has any special talents in that way and they want to give their time, they're more than welcome. And then on Tuesdays, we have another program that's, it's called, we call it Troops. It's kind of like a...
Troops?
Yeah, okay. It's kind of like a, think of like the Boys and Girl Scouts. Mm-hmm. But the Salvation Army's version, it is free to the families, so there isn't there is no cost to the kids. They earn badges, they learn things, and again, it's fun for them.
So. And that all takes place at your Baxter Street facility?
Yes. Okay.
Does that serve you appropriately right now, that building, do you think?
Yeah, it's showing its age.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's it needs some work done.
Okay, all right.
We're definitely working on getting some bids and stuff in to make some changes to help it serve us a little better.
Sure.
You know, the kitchen isn't quite up to snuff as to where it needs to be.
Okay.
There is no air conditioning anywhere
in the
building,
gosh, really?
Which makes summer programs kind of difficult and things like that. So we've got some minor changes. I think it was built in the 70s, but it's just kind of, so the space is great.
Yeah.
There's
a big gym in there.
Yeah, huge gym. And we do have gym time, like in the evenings and stuff. There's some rental groups that use it and things like that. But it's just a little bit of updates
to
make it more usable.
Your Sunday services, are they back in person?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Those start, and 10 o'clock for like Sunday school and stuff like that.
Okay. And masks required for services?
Just for the unvaccinated.
Same policy?
Same policy.
Okay. All right. Getting through it one day at a time, right?
Yep.
The holidays are not far off.
No, they're not.
And I know that's very
Christmas
pressing
starts
on your
in
minds.
September for us. Sometimes August. we start the plans for Christmas very, very early just to make sure that we're ready and ready to do our fundraising and to help folks in the community with work with Christmas.
So you need donations, I'm assuming, of gift packages or monetary donations?
Yeah, I mean, the Kettle campaign is coming up.
It is, okay.
So, you know, that's usually mid-November that start, like, shortly either, I think, a week before Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, yeah.
We start, and again, that'll be our big fundraiser for the year.
Yeah.
So any help that people can give with that, see a bucket, feel free to give a dollar. Or if you want to volunteer your time to stand at the Kettle, give us a call.
Okay.
Because that's very valuable also. We are looking for sponsors for our toys campaign. We give out, it's Angel Tree, you can sponsor a family to get them gifts for Christmas. And if there's anyone in the community that needs that, or you know somebody that needs that, they can feel free to call us at Baxter Street. Our signups are November 3rd and 4th for the families. That's our bulk signup.
For families who would like to receive assistance.
Who would like to receive assistance.
Okay.
And then, again, if you're looking to sponsor a child or a family, you can give us a call and we'll get you those details.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming, you know, since the pandemic, you've seen a dramatic increase in need for all your services.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It seems to get a little bit more every year, you know. But the way I think about it is I would so much rather be able to help you with Christmas than have you not pay your rent or not pay your utilities to give your kids Christmas. A little background on myself. My husband, and I said, was an officer's child. I grew up on the other side of things. We weren't well off when I was a kid. And I remember my family, bless their hearts, they would actually go into debt to give us Christmas. And they didn't know about Salvation Army programs at the time, like that would help them with things. And so they would literally just spend the money they didn't have to once a year give us a big Christmas, you know, and make it special for us kids. And we never knew anything about it until we were older and we were kind of like, wait a minute. And they wouldn't pay their mortgage or they wouldn't pay their rent or the utilities or whatever. And then they would go into debt over it. And so I think about my own situation, my own family, and I think about families that may be faced with that same choice. Do I give Christmas to my kids or do I pay the stuff that I need to pay to keep things
going?
And that's not a great choice to be stuck in. And so I think I feel like the community is always more than happy to buy a toy for a kid. That's never usually a problem. And so let's do that kindness for families because it's not easy to ask for.
Have you been able to, you know, since you've graduated and moved on, mm-hmm. helped your parents get through those times?
No. Okay. Because they live in a different area, and they don't have little kids anymore.
Sure.
It's, you know, it's just us grown-ups.
But it definitely inspired you to.
It definitely gives you a different view of things. You know, when you grew up on the on this other side of things, where you're not necessarily the one helping people, you're the one that maybe was in need of help.
Sure.
And you know, it's not easy to ask for, and it's not. It's, you know, it's hard for parents to look at them and be like, I can't do this for my kid. Can you help me? That's not an easy thing to say.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
So it's my pleasure to help.
So when folks come to you, I'm sure you're aware of that. You're sensitive to that. Try and remain.
And at the Salvation Army, both locations I've been at, we're very conscious of the dignity of the parent.
Yes.
So like the toys are always given in a way that the kid would not know what's in the bag. Even if they are there with them, the kids are not going to see what is in the bag for them. You know, it's always like, and we don't wrap anything for the express purpose of, like, a lot of times, I don't know about here because I haven't been through Christmas time, but a lot of times we would say to donors, we encourage you to provide wrapping paper or bags or whatever so that the parent can wrap them themselves. You know what I mean?
Because
there's nothing worse. I'm sure my husband has had this happen to him a couple times just because he doesn't always buy the gifts, but you don't know what's in the kid's package. So if it's pre-wrapped, there's probably nothing worse as a parent, like not knowing what your kid's getting for Christmas because it's already wrapped.
Right.
So we just are really conscious about those things and try to help somebody, but, you know, make it so that they're the ones providing
the secret Santa.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Sure. Do you have a goal for the kettle drive this year?
Yes,
Amanda?
The goal is I think it's $120,000.
Okay.
My husband will correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. But so that's where we're at this year.
Steady, or has that been an increase?
Really not sure.
All right.
Okay. I would have to look at that again.
Okay. And it all goes right back into that?
Yes, right back into the community.
Yep.
To serve the people that we serve every day.
Right. Do you work with other social service agencies?
We do. We do.
Yeah. Okay.
Quite a few different agencies. We work together to serve as many clients as we can.
Sure.
You know?
Very good. That's good. Anything else we should let folks know about right now?
I don't think so.
Volunteers seems like
yes,
the big need right now. Yeah.
You know,
and always a monetary donation.
Always.
There.
Yep. Always. It's good.
It's tax deductible.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Should let folks know as well.
Yes, for sure. Just that my husband and I are happy to be here.
Yeah.
My husband's name's Adam, and we have two beautiful little girls that are excited to be here. And it's really funny because they were born in New Jersey, but they're going to have little Boston accents as they grow up. So it's kind of comical to watch happen.
How old are they?
My oldest is 5, and my youngest is 16 months.
Oh, okay. So is the 5-year-old in school now?
Not kindergarten. She missed it just by like 5 days, her birthday.
Okay.
It's a shame for her, but, you know.
We'll have to have them on the show someday.
Yeah, you'll have to meet them. They're pretty funny.
Absolutely. The whole family's welcome. Please come
thank
back.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Thanks for coming
Thanks
over.
For your time.
You're very welcome.
Mm-hmm.